Can Zoom participants hear us? We're okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
And we would like Tanya Aguirre to be made a panelist if possible.
Will do.
Thank you.
All right, I will call to order the meeting of the Hearing Board for the Monterey Bay Air Resources District, for Monday, June 3rd. And then we'll start with roll call, please.
All right, Chair Guth. Director Dodge.
Present.
Director Linder. You're all here.
We now have an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on the agenda, if there are any here or online.
Let's see. No hands raised online and nothing received at the office.
Okay. Next item is to accept and file a summary of actions. And what's in our package is both. Well, they call it a summary of actions. I would view it as minutes, but then also there's a copy of the signed order and made like a three-word change into the order after consulting with counsel. There was an aspect of the order that we had discussed about being inaccurate. It didn't really become substantive with regard to any of the conditions or any of the order. It was just some of the factual background. We discussed it, we talked about it, but when we made the motion, whereas we were in detail on the conditions that had changed and some of the findings, it was over in the factual section. So because we had discussed it out loud, there was a slight change, but to the factual background portion that we had discussed. So I just want to let you two know that I did that, but in consultation with counsel. So I would be looking for a motion to accept for item four.
The minutes first?
Well, the order and the minutes together are just a package. I've already signed the order. It's in effect. I was just giving you a courtesy notice that there's like a three-word change from the draft that we saw separate from the amendments we made.
Well, I'd like to move to accept based on your explanation.
I'll second the motion.
Can I take a roll call?
You might as well. Yeah.
Director Dodge, Director Linder, Chair Guth. Approved unanimously.
Our next item is a public hearing on docket 24-003, University of California, Santa Cruz, short-term variance. I'm going to ask, Siri, if you can, do you know that, could you repeat that name for me that was added for petitioner?
Yes. Tanya Guerrera, G-U-E-R-R-E-R-A. Tanya spelled T-A-N-Y-A.
Guerrera. Guerrera. Okay, before we start, I'm going to warn anybody who's likely to speak all at once. I'm going to read the oath first and then go to people by name one at a time and ask them to affirm if they are so inclined. So do you swear to tell the truth? Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I'll start with Amy Climo.
I do.
Thank you. Justin Delamus?
I do.
Thank you. Tanya Guerrera?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, so we have an opportunity now for petitioner to present their case, and I guess we'll be looking at screens for this. So just to make this clear, staff report will come after you all present your case to us.
Okay. We'd like to run a single natural gas generator while there's a electrical shutdown happening on our campus. This would be in lieu of renting a diesel generator for the temporary power needs. Would you like more info on the project itself, or?
Well, I do have a few questions about the situation, but I think I'll wait until after I've heard you and staff.
Okay. Do you have anything you'd like to add, Tanya?
Well, I can give you a little bit of background if that would be okay. We are planning on replacing a generator for our Rachel Carson College Dining Expansion Project. The duration of the shutdown will be approximately a week, and we are planning on having it shut down June 17th through the 21st. When we do shut down the power, it will take out two transformers, the T42 and the T40, one for the dining hall and one that will affect the academic building and two apartment complexes, dormitories at the Rachel Carson College. And that's why we're asking for a variance to run the generator because the college dormitories will be occupied, and the academic building, which will also be affected, will also have some occupants. But they're a little bit more flexible. The staff or the students that are residing in the dormitories, they're expected to leave on the 20th, which is right in the middle of our shutdown. So it's, well, I think that's all that I'd like to share at this time, unless there's any questions.
Thank you for that. Ms. Primo? Oh, let me ask any questions from my colleagues?
Yeah, I wasn't quite clear. So you want to replace a diesel generator with a, no.
We have a transformer that is being delivered to the site, and we need to shut down the power in order to take the old transformer away and install the new transformer and wire it up for our dining hall project. But unfortunately, when they turn down the power, it won't just affect our building. It will affect, you know, four buildings in total. So that's why we're asking for this this variance, because we need the generator to power the buildings that are not affected by our construction.
Got it. And it's a diesel generator?
No, it's a natural gas.
Yes.
Okay. So I think I did figure that. Thank you. That's all.
Yeah, I have a quick question. So this natural gas that's going to be one natural gas emergency generator on agenda item number 5F, agenda page number 24, is any of this gas going to be released into the UCSC community? Do we expect any type of emissions to be thrown out?
There'll be the emissions from the natural gas generator. There won't be any natural gas emissions.
Would there be just any other type of emissions?
Only from the generator.
Okay. That was just my question for right now.
Thank you. I do have questions, but they're going to go to you, so I wait for your report. So please.
Okay, hi, I'm Amy Climo. I'm the engineering and compliance manager for the Monterey Bay Air Resources District. And this variance request is to allow one natural gas emergency generator to operate in a non-emergency scenario, which violates the permit operating conditions. And emergency generators are permitted to operate only when utility service fails, which is considered an unplanned outage. The petitioner needs to operate the emergency generator to provide continuity of power to the campus during planned interruptions to service needed to replace the transformer and terminate the electrical feeder. And as mentioned, operating the emergency generator would provide minimum electrical power for campus occupants during the time that the campus is affected by the power outage. And the variance request was submitted for the dates of June 18th to June 28th, but I just heard maybe June 17th, so we may need to discuss the term of the variance. Staff would also just like to discuss the end date. This is a short-term variance, so you could go up to 90 days, and whether the petitioner would like the variance to extend beyond June 28th, which could go up to as long as September 16th, which would be the full 90 days. Which might provide some flexibility if the timing of turning the power out may change, and staff does not oppose the variance request. That concludes my report.
Thank you for that. So I have a few questions. So I see the permit to operate for this piece of equipment. And if I'm reading this right, and I may have missed something, but it talks about 60 hours per year, for test and exercise purposes, and that's a maximum. So this isn't a test or exercise purpose. And then it talks about conditions where you can operate it. But on this PTO, the underlying PTO, and I do see that it says it's when local utility power line service fails. But if local utility power line service did fail, do you see any limit on days or months of usage on this?
No, emergency operation is not limited.
Okay, so that's one question. Then the next one is, we are seeing a PTO for this one piece of equipment. And it's a huge campus, and there's all sorts of buildings. Are you familiar with, otherwise I'll go to the petitioner, with how, what area or how many buildings or how much of the facility of what they have up there is this generator for?
I think this is one of almost 70 emergency natural gas generators that are permitted at UC Santa Cruz. So this is just one of very many.
Okay, and so separate from the generators, do they have other permits up on that campus?
They do. They have a cogen facility, which was another reason why they had to do a similar variance in the past. They had to hook up some things with that facility, so they had to operate some emergency generators, and they may have some boilers as well.
Okay, and so part of what where I'm going with this is if we've got 100 or more permits, and we have there's an overall system that would clearly have foreseeable needs to occasionally shut stuff down for doing things like swapping out transformers, especially if they're doing a redesign of a project or an upgrade to facilities and to change the facilities. How is it that we're even using variance procedure as opposed to having permits that allow for this sort of thing somewhere? I mean, I can understand if you break each one down into 70 sub permits, it's each permit has its own set of conditions, but how is there not a overall permit that addresses what is a recurring and, to me, foreseeable set of circumstances?
Because the this is an emergency generator permit, and the definition of emergency means that it has to be unplanned. And so we can't add a condition that goes against the fact that this is an emergency generator permit.
We have other generation, we have other permits that I've seen where normal conditions or normal operation is a certain way, and not an emergency, but you have other operating modes that are also permitted and limited. So how come we don't have an also permitted and limited thing on a campus this big?
So that would be maybe considered a prime engine. So there's prime engines can operate without this restriction of being only for emergency purposes. And so emergency engines are based on separate regulations that define emergency, and they're conditioned to meet those regulatory requirements.
Okay, so if you're going to have foreseeable and regular shutdowns, why do we have to refer to each of the 70 as an emergency generator if instead it's also going to be an alternate power source for certain foreseeable design changes and facilities upgrades?
I don't think at the time when they permitted this, they knew they were going to expand the dining hall. And so they permit these engines for emergency because that's really the purpose of the engine. And they just have these.
I'm sort of looking forward to, like, I don't know what's going on at UC exactly. I know that I saw their EIRs for their North Campus Extension and all these other things. I mean, it's possible, and I could ask them. But if they're in the process of or into going to engage in other parts of the campus into big changes, it's possible that it will feed back into their existing systems that will need to be shut down a bunch. Often repeatedly, maybe. Is each one of those going to be a variance? Is there a construction that can, if they're doing construction, is there another permit? I'm just wondering if there's a different regulatory umbrella. Sure. That it's not that big of a deal to come down here and give a variance, but the idea, if you have foreseeable stuff, why, how, do we have a vehicle to capture this through any of the permitting schemes?
So I guess I could say we could go back and check the regulations, but as these were permitted at the time we got the application, the intent was for unforeseeable power interruptions. I don't know what the future looks like at UC Santa Cruz and what foreseeable interruptions there may be.
Okay.
But I'm with you. I was thinking, why don't you have a
which could still involve staff review, for example, that they're doing something for an appropriate reason, but have some pre-approved appropriate reasons. So I'll ask petitioner. So You hear us now talking about the future there and all these permits. And I'm sorry, I'm looking that way. I don't know if I'm in your camera the right way, but I'm seeing a screen up that way. So I don't know what has happened with the status of the UCSC expansion. I do know that, you know, the EIRs went through 2 years ago, something like that.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
I don't know if my question is like, so I don't know if the UCSC expansion is the right way to treat, but if you on campus are going to do further new constructions and you're going to have to get them into the grid and do all these things, do you know, or could you, if you could tell me if you know, or could you use your experience to give a best guess of, are you going to get into situations where you're going to have to shut down things in the future and bring up these generators, which are only supposed to be for emergencies, when you're doing construction, if you're about to embark in the years of construction up there?
Most likely.
Okay, so that just something, I think that's a caution for us. So on this particular project, construction project, what did you say? It's an expansion of a dining hall? Is that
correct?
Roughly speaking, is that sort of a standalone thing, or is that in any way related to a larger ongoing expansion of the campus?
It's a standalone thing. You know, one of the issues with just the way the rules and generators work is it would be kind of difficult for us to permit a prime engine, like a stationary engine, because that's not going to work for campus. When we shut down part of campus, it's, you know, it's a localized shutdown, and we could another stationary generator, we wouldn't be able to, it would have to be a portable for us to move it around wherever we needed to use it.
No, I hear that. So I understand that you've got constraints on your side, but we also have our responsibilities. And mm-hmm. One of our responsibilities is that we have to make a finding that when we give variances, that it wasn't for something that was a reasonably foreseeable issue on your side. So that's the bind you put us in. It's perhaps easier to get by it on the single use thing here for this dining hall, but thinking ahead a year or two, if you do a big expansion and you, I mean, what if you come in every 2 weeks with an unforeseen need to use your emergency generators as you work your way through all of your electrical installation? I don't know exactly how that would fit in, but I will speak for myself only that you might have us starting to say that this is not unforeseeable and then put us in the bind of not being able to make findings to grant you variances for those things. In other words, it just has to be something, and like I say, I may be getting ahead of us, but that's coming up there is from what I understand. And so there's something for us all to think about.
So I do think there's a benefit to overall air quality and the air district's mission by allowing us to run a natural gas generator, because the alternative would be to rent a diesel generator that's going to produce much
easy,
more
you
emissions.
Make it very easy for us to make this other finding, which is that there's a benefit to doing this for air purposes. But we have like six findings we have to make. And the one that is that this was outside the reason, you know, I can tell you what the sort of, we all modified it most likely during our discussions, but that one of our findings is along the lines of, second.
On page 24.
24? That due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, requiring compliance would result in, you know, these problems, a practical closing of a business. So that language can be interpreted in a couple of ways, more than a couple probably. But when we start getting into findings that are talking about things that are beyond your reasonable control, you put us in a bind. We can get put into a bind where someone could say, well, this is all understood. When you make a design change like this, you had a thing in the timeline that a certain month you're going to have to run this generator outside of its permit. And even if that's the best common sense solution and the best environmental, we have to come up with some reasoning on our side to addressing the reasonable control aspect. And I don't want to sound flippant about it, but I mean, one could be is that like, well, nobody thought of it. In other words, you guys aren't good at your job, but you are good at your job. So that's where you put us into this concern. You knew this was coming. So I think it's not as big a deal on the single one, but I do want to make that clear that if you came in every 2 weeks for these kinds of things while you're doing your expansion, you'd put us in a bind. So I want to ask staffs, since they've prepared, they don't oppose this variance, what is the staff view on this situation where do we view this as conditions beyond their reasonable control? It's sort of a planned, this is not a transformer that blew up. This is a design change.
I think maybe it's beyond their reasonable control to operate the emergency generator, because then they put themselves into a non-compliance. They put themselves into a violation situation. And so requiring them to comply with their permit, they can't if they're going to be operating it during this project. And so that's how I might look at it.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask petitioner, will there ever be a time at any time during a calendar year where you could have shut down everything that will have to go down when you pull out this transformer without backup power? If it's 7 days, let's say it's a 6 day shutdown, what kind of equipment is powered? Is there ever, two questions. Is it stuff that has to be powered no matter what, because you'll have some horrible outcome, like you've got lab samples that will all defrost or something? Well, second, is there ever, if there's not something like that, is there ever a 6 or 7 day stretch where what's being powered is vacant and could go without power at any time during the summer?
So this particular spot isn't a lab area. It's related to a dorm. And while this work is going on, the dorms are still occupied. And so we're required to provide power for the residents.
I hear that, but that's a scheduling choice. I'm asking, is there any time when school's not out and the dorms are unoccupied that you could do this without having backup power? I mean, is there anything that has to be on no matter what, even if there's not people there? That's part of a question. And the other one is, do you have a spot in your schedule where this place doesn't need power?
I can't really speak to that, to be honest.
Better answer for us to hear that there's never such a time.
It would be really difficult for those to align. The dining hall needs to be operational and it's open frequently. And then to have the dining hall closed at the same time as the dormitories being unoccupied and the academic building being unoccupied, there may be a few days, but it would be very difficult to schedule. Not that we couldn't, but it would be very difficult. And I don't want to get into the weeds, and I don't know if I should bring this up, but this is an unplanned outage. We had a redundant loop, an electrical loop that had a fault in it, which we were relying on to power these buildings, but we had a fault and that line is no longer operable. So that happened maybe a month or two ago. So that's why we had to rely on the emergency variance to power the second generator for the academic building and the dormitories. There was a secondary loop, but it failed. There was a fault in it.
I'm going to share my colleague's point of view, but that is not in the weeds. That's exactly the kind of thing that gets us over the hurdle of like that something's not, something was out of your control.
Yeah.
So is it typical that in most of your places where you might have to have shutdowns that you do have redundant loops, or is this just a something related to the transformer or the circuitry? Well, let me just clarify that for the record. So you're saying that had you not had this unexpected fault in a either redundant or alternate circuit. In your view, you would not have needed this variance. You could have gone to the alternate circuit.
Yes, we could have powered the buildings without and taken down our temporary, our transformer, and still powered the buildings. But the fault is preventing us from doing that. And it's currently being repaired, but I don't think it will be repaired in time for our shutdown.
And that's why we ask these questions, I think. Okay, that's a lot of questions from me. I'll turn to Mr. Dodge.
So you guys are asking exactly for 1 week? Is that what's being asked?
That's what's planned.
Yeah, I think it said 64 hours.
Okay, so all this seems to be happening unexpectedly. What happens if this takes more than 64 hours? Are we coming back here or? Because it sounds like there's some things going on with transformers and.
So staff asked the petitioner if you want to have a conversation of should we change the term of the variance, we would keep it to 64 hours. But do you want to change the term to start? It sounds like June 17th. Do you want it to expand maybe a little bit beyond June 28th, just in case something goes sideways? I'm not sure.
It would be preferable if we can expand it just so we have some leeway in case we run into any problems, although none are expected. But if it's all the same, I would like to have it extended as long as possible for our flexibility.
Okay, so in the draft variance, we did put it to September 16th, pending the conversation today, so.
I'm just asking because 1 second, everything's unexpected, and then the next second, so I'm just kind of concerned / confused, and so that's why I was just
asking. No, I share that concern. If we're all here thinking that this is the best thing to do and there's legitimate reason for it, we don't want to accidentally handcuff ourselves and we go out of time, but 3 months sounds like a generous amount of time. Is that what you're saying? It's a 3 month period?
64 hours, but it can happen over a 3 month time period.
So how did you come up with the 64 hours?
That was in their application.
Okay, and let me ask you, I didn't have time for an analysis, but based on what you understand of this, if it had been more than 64 hours, would it have posed more of a problem for you or a problem for you?
No, because actually their excess emissions are calculated to be less than, we have to charge them the minimum excess emission fee because the emissions are actually not even enough to get to the level of being above that excess emission fee. So because they're natural gas generators, I would say the emissions they're a lot lower and less of a concern they would be for a diesel generator.
So 64 hours, we're talking less than 3 continuous days of use of the generator?
That's what was in the application.
Okay. So now I'm going to look at petitioner.
Yeah.
Are you sure you're comfortable with asking for 3 days total?
Can we raise that amount to be 5 days total?
I was going to say that's a separate question. Let me ask you, are you sure you're comfortable with 3 days total? How did you come up with that, and how sure are you that that's okay? I mean, who's doing the work? Aren't you using outside contractors? What if they go home early one day? I'm just curious. It certainly sounds like we're open to extending that. This wasn't a constraint put on you on our side. This was your request.
I would prefer to have that the hours increased, if that's at all possible. I would feel more comfortable if we would have 5 continuous days of being able to use the generator. Of course, if we don't need that many days, then we won't use them.
We use the expression 5 continuous days, but what we're talking about is a total of hours that is equal to 5 days, but they could be broken into different days. And I'm comfortable with that, hearing that the emissions are lower than our floor.
Can we up that to 120 hours? If that's possible?
Yeah, I will. We'll have to go back and just update the excess emissions to confirm what the excess emission fee would be, but I think it would, I can get out my calculator and do it here on the side, but it would probably, it's close to double what you asked for.
What was the emission fee for 60 days?
It's $560 because that's the minimum.
I'm guessing that on the overall project that is even less than a drop in the bucket on their side.
Yeah.
I don't see them nodding in agreement, but I'm just.
Yes, we'll pay whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever you need.
I think you're getting a sense that our concern on our side is not what you're doing, but that we meet the procedural requirements. You got me over the hump hearing that you had an unexpected failure in an alternate circuit. But once you get to all that point, I don't want to be too generous with, but 120 hours, what is that? So that's roughly 7 days, 24, no, it's about 6 days.
5 days.
5 days, yeah, that doesn't seem like much for a big job like this. And if that's what you're asking for, I'd much rather have us be comfortable, to discuss it and be comfortable with that and make sure we don't come back here for something as silly as not having pushed this up a little bit. To me, it's not the big concern on this job is how many hours in these small amounts. It's all the other stuff.
So if we talk about going out to September,
yeah,
is that just increase the fee, you know, so much, or is it just like?
No, because it's just based on the hours. So yeah, it's the 120 hours that those engines are operating. That's what the emissions are based on.
And we could do it with to permit it until September.
Yes.
And just to make clear, the variance is for this one and only one emergency generator. And on their permit, those hours don't apply to the non-emergency 60 hours that they mentioned?
No.
Or should we make that explicit and say that out loud, that going to their PTO, there is a thing that they are allowed to use 60 hours per year for test and exercise purposes, and this is not that?
Yeah, the way the order is written is they're in violation of Condition 3, and that's what the variance is for Condition 3.
Right, but we're going to be running... This is not hours that get captured on two.
Right, it's not counted towards two. Yeah.
Okay, Emmett.
Sorry, I have no other questions.
I just bring up the times because I mean, my phone says it only takes 41 minutes to get to Watsonville, but there could be, you know, a bump in the road, and it just takes one small thing and it turns to 41 minutes to 45. And, you know, we're limiting this to a number of hours, which you guys might have not even really known, but, you know, you guys could see you might need more hours. And so that was the only reason why I brought it up. So I just wanted to mention that.
No, I'm glad you did. And so we have two times. We have what seems like an appropriate and generous time for 3 months to do it within. We've doubled what their initial request was. They've had opportunity to discuss it. If they get to the end of that and they get to their 120 hours, this is going to be a point where they're going to have to shut down, I believe.
Or risk a violation. Yeah.
Yeah. And they can't point the finger at us if that happens because we've worked with them on this application. So if we were going to make a motion or someone were to make a motion, we have, you know what, let's walk through some of the conditions real briefly. Because what I think is going to happen is we'll do our best to voice what the modifications are to the conditions here and then ask for a motion to incorporate as discussed and do our best to capture it. Our best would be to do it literally, and we'll try to do that. So the first finding, I don't think any of us have a problem with it as written, which is a petitioner is or will be in violation of a rule regulation, and they will be. So I'd like to add something to our finding B, which is due to conditions beyond the reasonable control would be either an arbitrary taking or practical closing. We already have language that addresses that pretty well, except it doesn't get into talks about the close, you know, how impractical it would be to close it down. But I would like to add a sentence that said, petitioner had an alternate power pathway in this system. Which has recently failed, if that is in line with the right, that accurate representation. I'm looking at you, petitioner, this way.
There was a fault in the conductor.
So we still call that a failure. So which recently failed, parentheses, fault in the conductor. Thus necessitating this request for variance. Really make a run-on sentence and say, comma, as this was beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner. That's my crack at it. I'm open to any editing or further additions.
So I don't have anything to add, but okay. I'd like to motion to accept the request as discussed and as changed in the
Okay. Are we comfortable with the remaining findings as written? Okay. I think that was the big one with reasonable control. So that was a motion.
Second that motion.
Okay. Ask for a roll call.
All right. Chair Guth.
Yes.
Director Dodge.
Yes.
Director Linder. Approved unanimously.
Thank you. That was three yeses. So we'll get an order revised and signed within a day or two.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. I could adjourn the meeting, but if anybody has anything they'd like to share.
So this is the second time that we extended the